Today, we have a special roundtable. Rather than our regular participants, we invited three generations of a family to talk about King's legacy and the importance of the civil rights movement. Nikki Henderson is an African-American studies major at the University of California. Her father, Andrew Henderson, is the co-founder of Families for Children, a multi-service foster care and adoption agency in Southern California. And Nikki's grandmother is Doris Jones. Doris was born and raised in the Los Angeles area and for years traveled around the world with her husband's blues quartet. And I welcome you all to the show. Appreciate it. Good to have three generations of you on with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me get a sense of how each one of you view the day. And Doris, if you don't mind, I'll start with you. When you reminisce on this day, what are your thoughts? What do you do special, if anything?
I don't know that I do personally anything special. I make sure I look at all these special programs regarding history. And to me, it was such a traumatic time in my lifetime that I'm just interested in what is being reviewed.
And Doris, obviously you didn't grow up in the deep South. We mentioned that you were born and raised in Los Angeles, but at that time, 50s and 60s, it was hard times for all African Americans. In terms of your remembrances of that day, those days, what do you remember most?
I remember being at work and having the news on the television. And we had been following the march and the speeches regularly. And it just tore up the office as far as continuing the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Andrew, you're 47, so you were relatively young, probably not with a full understanding of what was going on at the time. Talk to me, A, about what you do for this day, during this day, and also what you do, if anything, special to commemorate it.
Our work is very community-focused. We work with at-risk families, primarily African-American families, and the legacy of Martin Luther King, I think, is really a part of what we would like to see happen with these families in terms of upward mobility, in terms of social intelligence, things like that. But on that particular day, we're involved in something called Community Day. That's an event held here in L.A. where you have about 20,000 to 30,000 at-risk families come to an event that provides food, clothing, employment, and other kinds of economic and social resources that can enhance their lives.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that you do special for the day?
Personally, my work is more outwardly focused. Again, I get a lot of personal satisfaction, and I consider it my personal duty to see that others benefit from what Martin Luther King attempted to do. And so mm-hmm. that's my, I guess, my own personal commitment to carry through his legacy.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nikki, you're the baby here. At 21, you don't obviously remember anything other than what you read in history books and were told in school and perhaps by relatives. Talk to me about how you and perhaps your peers remember this day. Often I say in January and February, King becomes this iconic figure that's used most often by corporations as a figurehead. You hear some gospel music behind it. You see a lighted candle and it says, "Remember the dream." And that's just about all. Talk to me, A, about what you know about this man, and B, whether or not you do anything special to commemorate his life.
I think I know a little more about him than many of my peers just because I'm an African-American studies major. So I've had to engage him academically. I've had to engage him personally and in a lot of different ways. So what I know about him is his connection to Gandhi and Gandhi's principles of nonviolence and his application to the civil rights movement. And honestly, I think about a lot of the personal information about him that I wouldn't have known if I hadn't been an African American studies major, about how he was reluctant in the beginning to even speak, how he was not, a lot of people kind of consider him the focal point, but he didn't become the focal point until a little later on, and much was going on before him that's not really known. So those are the things that flash through my mind. And when it comes to my personal remembrance of the day, unfortunately, it has been commoditized to the point where I look forward to the day off, but mm-hmm. sometimes I do forget that it is Martin Luther King Day. My studies in African American studies kind of pervade my life, so that day isn't much different than the others, but it strikes me now that I probably should try
Doris,
to do something.
Doris, let me ask you, and I'll ask each of you this, when you talk about a man who has become so symbolic and so important in the lives of African Americans as a collective, Doris, do you think that we should do more individually or collectively as a people to salute this man's life? I mean, I'm hearing from each of you that while you know it's his birthday, you know the importance, you understand, you may watch television or pick up a paper and read something about it, the idea of maybe doing more or doing something special resonates to some. Do you think we should be doing more?
I do, and I think my age, in our church, we do the whole month recognizing events, you know, that has happened. And I guess we should really emphasize more with the younger children because they don't identify with the importance of Martin Luther King and what was happening in his day.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, let me ask you about generationally handing down the stories. One of the complaints that I hear from a lot of young people is that that they don't get much of the history of the civil rights movement, of Dr. King and others from their parents and people who reared them. The fact is that they get the month in school of Black History Month, they'll get the paragraph or two that lends itself to history books. And unlike your daughter, who's going into it as a major, if they don't have that, they don't know much more about it than the names Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. You being of the, quote, next generation, immediately following the Civil Rights Movement, did we and others drop the ball in passing the stories along as we should have?
I think that's true to some extent. I think that blame can be placed on several fronts, the media, technology, and just the natural evolution of our society where, again, as a result of Martin Luther King's efforts, we've had more access to education, we've had more access to economic upward mobility, and so that has been, you know, just a participation in the system that has kind of diminished, I think, our passing down of his legacy. There were much more desperate times on some level during the Civil Rights Movement, not to say that we are not still experiencing a lot of deficit in our Black communities, but I think as we became middle class, as we became professional, the hardcore historical significance of the struggle may have been diminished on some level. And you're right, I think that we forget that it's not ours to possess as our own, it's ours to share. And I think that's what we really need to understand is that just because we may have attained a certain level of economic or social success, that it's come on the backs of a lot of dead African Americans. A pretty blunt term, but it's true. I mean, we have built our success on the backs of some extremely dynamic, brave, courageous African American men and women, and that is not shared with our families, and it's not part of our family systems like it should be.
You were in college, and I would suspect by your age, mid to late 70s, when you take a look at the idea, or late 70s, I would guess, when you take a look at the idea of the activism, I understand that you were fairly active on college campuses, as many people are, with participation in civil rights events that you, in fact, knew and spent time with Stokely Carmichael and were president of the Black Student Union there. Do you believe that that is the zeal of youth that allows that? And as you suggest, as you move up the ladder economically, that some of the other things that supersede perhaps the importance of that take precedence?
Well, yeah, you know, we raise families, you know, we do things, and I think that our priorities shift. It's one thing to have a lot of time on your hands with no quote-unquote responsibility. Then you can do those things, and not that they're no more important now. They are. They're extremely important now, but again, I think our priorities change. And I think that is almost a compliment to our ability to move up in this society. Again, I am really of the opinion that, you know, upward mobility and self-sufficiency needs to be a theme that runs through our Black community, and I don't think that's been promoted enough. I still think that there's a large sense of entitlement that's being felt. I think there's a large sense of activities and events. You know, for example, the Martin Luther King Day as an event is something that needs to be shaped in a form that's empowering, not necessarily symbolic. And I think that it's the empowerment piece that concerns me, because once the day is over, then do we fall right back into our patterns, or are we building some kind of sustainable movement?
Nikki, let me ask you this question outside of your studies, because obviously with your classmates and those who share the same curriculum with you, you will probably have had this discussion. But what about just with friends on your own time? Can you remember, recall at all ever having a real substantive conversation about King, about the civil rights movement, about the 60s and what occurred with any of your friends?
My friends that are not in my major are kind of the ecologist hippie types. And we don't really talk about that. When we do, it's in the perspective of how the civil rights movement intertwined with Vietnam. And I think a lot of my peers that aren't in college tend to veer toward more the Black Power side. So when we do engage in these conversations, it's not necessarily about Martin Luther King, but it's about Malcolm X and Black nationalism and things like that.
Doris, when you look at where African Americans are today, when you look at the opportunities that your granddaughter has today and what your son has been able to do, and think back to a time when the fights were in the streets, are you optimistic about what you've seen? Are you where you thought we would be? Are we further along, further behind? How would you characterize that?
That's a hard question to answer. I believe we have advanced. I think our children are more interested in education, is stressed more than when I was coming up. And I do think have advanced a great deal from the civil service, civil rights services.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, let me ask you, in relation, again, you were very young during the height of the movement, but as you started to learn and understand what went on, and so much in terms of Black pride and Black power, the suggestion of the 70s, it was in the music, it was in the air. How do you see the adventure from there to today?
It's well, it's exciting. It's dynamic. And I think it has to be, from my perspective, viewed in the context of the different African-American communities. You have a very poor African-American community. You have a middle class, and you have an upward mobile economic community. And so for me, the challenge is bringing all those communities together to bring everyone up. I think that you know, it's very romanticized and I don't know, dangerous to look at this as something that cannot touch everybody, or something that where there cannot be an ultimate way of moving everybody up and making everybody responsible. I think for me, it's a matter of making everybody responsible for the outcomes of their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think the movement should really focus on, well, how can we really make that real in our lives? How can we do something concrete to make this a very positive upward movement of where we are?
And Nikki, real quick, with about a minute left, I'd be remiss in not asking you about what you hope to do with your degree in African American Studies.
I want to become a professor of African American Studies. Mm-hmm. A lot of Afro-Am departments around the country are struggling right now to find professors, to find students that are still interested in majoring in Black Studies and getting a PhD in Black Studies. So that's what I want to do.
All right. Well, helping keep the word alive. Andrew and Nikki Henderson, father and daughter. thank you so much for being with us. And Doris, Grandmama, we know you're in charge of all of it back there. So we thank all of you for being a part of our special roundtable today. Greatly appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.